Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 261, Walking by the Spirit, I Have a Helper. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, May 29th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay, we are going to talk about a really awesome subject, the Holy Spirit. How about it for the Holy Spirit? Isn't he just the best gift ever that we have? Wow. So the title of this message is Walking by the Spirit. I have a helper. That's the subtitle, right? We have a helper. Praise the Lord. And to kick this off, because this book is so awesome, I'm just going to read a little excerpt from the, I believe this is from the introduction of, I showed that really fast, Persevere with Power by Samuel Rodriguez that we are studying in our cell groups. Man, this book is powerful. As we were reading this for in my group last week, the atmosphere changed. And I said to my group, wow, do you guys feel what I feel? And I mean, it's not a feeling, but it's good to feel his presence, right? What was I going to say? And I said to my group, I think this is good. This is a good little prescription here. If you wake up one day, you know, on the wrong side of the bed and not, you know, facing some things, some challenges, or feeling discouraged, get out this book, even just the introduction. It's just a few pages. Read this out loud to yourself. I mean, it is, it's like a booster shot. It's just really awesome. And in this section that I'm going to read, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, the most powerful spirit on the planet today is not the spirit of consumerism or greed, and it is not the spirit of influence and affluence. The most powerful spirit on the planet was and still is, back then and right now and always will be, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Hallelujah. When you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, then you never have to fear again the times you live in. As a follower of Jesus, who has accepted the free gift of salvation through his sacrifice on the cross, you are assured that you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. That comes from 1 John 2:27. You may face trials and tribulations. You may endure storms and setbacks, but you will never be defeated permanently. Woo! You might experience discomfort, distress, or debilitation, but your joy and peace will not cease. If you have that spirit, then you will speak as if you have him. If you have that spirit, then you will praise as if you have him. We've been talking about praise today, right? If you have that spirit, then you will worship as you have him. If you have that spirit, then you will fight as if you have him. If you have that spirit, then you will pray as if you have him. If you have that spirit, then you will rebuke the devil as if you have them. Ooh, I'm getting encouraged up here. I don't know about you, but I'm getting encouraged. If you have that spirit, then everything about your life is in him and through him and by his power. Here is the truth about overcoming the obstacles we face. When you are washed by the blood of the Lamb, when you are forgiven through Christ's death on the cross, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, then you are not who you used to be. Hallelujah. You are not an eternal victim. You are not the devil's punching bag. You are not cursed. You are not defeated. When you have the mantle of God resting on your shoulders, you no longer depend on your own abilities. You no longer face your own limitations or the caveats and qualifications others tries to impose on you. You no longer rely on your own strength, because you understand that the unlimited, infinite, and eternal power of the great I Am is inside you, and you are never the same. Amen. Amen. I'm done. That's it. Woo! Wow. Isn't that encouraging? So if you're feeling discouraged one day, Get this book, those of you online, Persevere with Power. That's just the introduction, guys. That's just, you know, the beginning. So it gets better and better as we go and study through this Elijah and Elisha and the mantle and all the good things. So that just pumped me up about the Holy Spirit. So are we walking? Are we truly walking in the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us? Right? 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. By His glory and goodness, He called us, right? Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them, you and me, we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, that is some good news, right? He's given us everything we need, and we don't have to be stuck in the corruption caused by evil in the world, right? There's a way out through His great and precious promises. We are equipped to live a godly life. He's given us everything. So it's possible then for us to live uprightly, pleasing God, doing good, and turning away from sin and evil. It's possible because He's equipped us to do that. He's made a way, this verse says, for us to participate in His divine nature. Are we divine? No, we are fleshly, right? Flesh and bones. God is divine, right? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. He is divine. So this, He has made a way for us to participate in that divine character of who God is. He made a way out of sin for us. And a large part of that equipping, the reason that we have everything we need for godly life, it has to do with the Holy Spirit living in us. He's the one that equips us. So I just want to say this, you know, when you are born again and you receive Jesus as Lord truly in your heart, not just when you recite a prayer, it might happen for some people when you recite a prayer. Others, it's, you know, just that moment that you ask Jesus to be genuinely come and be your Lord and Savior and dwell with you and to help you, and you repent of your sins. The Holy Spirit comes to live and dwell inside of you, right? Yes. He, you know, consumes and lives in your human spirit. We all have a human spirit, right? But when the Spirit of God, when we say yes to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes and takes over. I like to think of it as like a vase or a receptacle, like a container. A beautiful vase is a nice way to say it. That of the Holy Spirit comes and is like implanted in us, right? And that's a good thing. And I just want to clarify this because several people ask this and have asked this. And I know at one time I had this question. So what's the difference between, you know, receiving the Holy Spirit when I'm born again and then being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit? Like, how does that work? Well, like we said, when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes. It's like you're equipped with this vase put inside of you, right? And you get the Holy Spirit. It's the genuine, authentic Holy Spirit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like now the water is being poured into this vase, right? And it's overflowing. Like the scriptures say, streams of living water will flow within you, right? And there's other scriptures. I'm not really talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. That can be another message. And actually, it probably will turn this into a series. So this is maybe part one. But I just wanted to clarify that you know, a born-again believer, when a person receives Jesus and is born again, they receive the Holy Spirit like a vase. And then when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like a hunger and a thirst for more. there's more. There's like a filling, an overflow that comes. So that water of the Holy Spirit, when you are hungry and desiring that, he just comes with his Holy Spirit through faith, right? And he like fills you to overflowing, right? So thank you, Jesus, that you do that for us. And it's like he comes on us and fills us to overflowing with the evidence of speaking in tongues, right? Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay, does that help somebody? Yep. Helps me just sort that out, you know? Okay, let's take a look in Scripture about who the Holy Spirit is, and then we're going to take a look at some of the roles that he plays in our lives. So, who is he? John 14 talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. This is the version I have in NIV. It says, another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So there are some descriptions of him. In King James, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. Okay, so number one, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is another advocate or another comforter. Well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus is a comforter, right? And in this part of Scripture, in John 14, he's talking to his disciples, right? Preparing them for when he leaves. And so Jesus is a comforter. He's the one that comforts, right? When he was with his disciples, I think they were comforted by his presence. He led them, he guided them. But so he's saying, I'm going to leave you another comforter, another advocate, like one similar to me, right? Imagine you were walking with Jesus in the flesh. Just imagine this, like, the person, the man of Jesus, you were walking with him. Wouldn't that be a tremendous comfort to you? Like if he was in the flesh next to you, walking down the road or down the road of life. If you had a problem, you could say, Jesus, can you tell me what to do about this? Hey, Jesus, you know, you're chatting along the road of life. I got this problem. What do I do? Jesus, I have a bad headache, or, you know, I've got this back pain or whatever. Would you just put your hand right here, Jesus? Right? Or Jesus, help me to turn away from this temptation. I'm dealing with this chronic thing that it's sin that I just can't quite get over. Jesus, can you help me? Imagine the comfort that he would be. Well, he says, I'm going to give you another comforter. He says, I have to go, but I'm going to leave one, another one for you. Jesus is the first, but he's saying, I'm going to send the same kind of comforter that I've been to you all this time. And he will bring you through temptations and trials, just like Jesus has brought you through, right? That's part of who the Holy Spirit is. So let's look, like, break this down. You guys know I like to learn about the roots of the words, the Latin and the Hebrew and the Greek. And so where it says, John 14, 16, I will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Comfort is a Latin word, and it divides into two parts. The com, the com, and the fortis, meaning with strength. That's what comforter means, with strength. So it's not just a comfort in the sense of, oh, you poor thing, like pity, you know, just like, oh. But it's with strength, girding us with strength. That's what the comforter does. He girds us with strength. Like you put on a girdle, it like straightens you up, right? Gives you strength there in your midsection. If we're relying on the Holy Spirit and staying full of him, we will have strength. We will be girded by his strength. So that was Latin. Let's go on to Greek. Comforter in Greek is parakletos or paraclete. Para means to come alongside. So think about the Holy Spirit just grabbing your arm like we're going to do the do-si-do, you know, He's coming alongside. He's partnering with you. Does anybody ever do like square dancing? You know, do the do-si-do? Oh, right. Right. He comes alongside of you like a partner, your dance partner in life, right? And that Greek word kaleo, where kletos comes from, means to call. So we have to come alongside and the call. It's a calling. So the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit is called to come alongside of you. That's pretty cool. Have you ever thought about the calling on the Holy Spirit? You know, we talk about the callings that we have on our lives. I'm called to preach the gospel. I'm called to minister healing. I'm called to whatever you're called to. But have you ever thought about the calling of the Holy Spirit? He has a calling. And his calling, from this word parakletos, it's to come alongside of you and me and to gird us with strength, to be our comforter. That is awesome to me. I love that. God, you are so good, right? He comes alongside to hold on to you, to help you, to bring you through trials and temptations of life as long as we live. That means forever, right? Forever, until you meet Jesus, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, so that was our first one. The Holy Spirit is another advocate or another comforter. Another part of who he is, number two, is he is the Spirit of truth. John 16, verses 12 through 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. There is no lie in him. In a world of so much deception, let me stop that. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. I went from the verse right into my notes. So that's the scripture. Now it's me, you know, summarizing. There is no lie in him, right? In a world of so much deception, so many lies, people saying whatever to win fame and power and affection, you know, politicians and others, we need truth. We need the Spirit of truth. And he's not just out here hanging out that you can meet with him occasionally. No, he lives inside of us as believers, right? That is such an advantage. That is such an advantage to us. Oh, Holy Spirit, we love you and we desire your truth. Help us, because we need your truth in our lives. I just love studying about the Holy Spirit. It's so good. This is encouraging. Okay, back to John 14. So if we look at John 14, 16, it says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter, right? Another advocate. We just looked at that. To help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So ask, in the sense where he says, Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father. This ask, it's like a strong legal word. It has a legal connotation to it. Jesus is saying, I have the legal right to ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit. So it's more than just, hey, I'm asking you for a favor. Can I borrow your pen? Or, you know, this is a legal word. I have the legal right to ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit. He didn't say that the gift would be given to you according to how good you are, how much you pray, how much you go to church, how sweet your disposition is, or any of that, or how bad or unpleasant. You know, you get a lower measure if you haven't quite been so good, naughty or nice. It's not like that. The Holy Spirit is a gift, and Jesus has the legal right, and he says, I give you this gift. Amen? It's good, right? It's good. And he will make you good enough. The Holy Spirit fills in where we miss it, where we're lacking. When I am weak, say that I am strong, right? The weak say that I am strong. Let the weak say, there we go, I got it. Let the weak say, I am strong. He makes us strong enough. He makes us good enough. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's continue. John 14, again, we're hanging out in John 14. Verse 17 and 18. This is another description. The Spirit of truth, like we talked about. The world cannot accept him, but it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Wow. If something or someone lives with you, it has an influence, right? It's going to have influence. I had roommates that had influence on me because of who they were and what they did. And oh man, the roommate that never shut off her alarm and she would sleep through her alarm, and I'm really sensitive. And as soon as one beep happens, it's like, you know, that had influence on me, you know, good or bad or yeah. Anyways, whatever it is, let's say a mouse is living with you, or God forbid, cancer is living with you, or a godly spouse, whatever it is, good or bad, negative, positive, but it's alive and it's real, right? And it implies that it's ongoing and it will have influence on you. There will be an exchange of an effect on the other one. So this is saying the Spirit of truth, he lives with you. He's going to have an influence on your life if you open your heart to that, to all that he wants to do, right, in our lives. What an amazing and good spirit, the Spirit of truth. That's the spirit I, you know, have on the inside of me. That's the one I want on the inside of me, flourishing, right? Maybe we wouldn't struggle in the same way if we allow the Spirit of truth to kind of face off with the circumstances that we're going through and the trials, right, that threaten our belief or our truth of what I know to be true. That's something to think about, because he lives on the inside of us. Amen. Let's allow the Spirit of truth to be big in us. And like Tanya said, to speak out, to speak the truth. Maybe she said that in prayer, in our prayer time today. That we're okay, she said it. let's go to 1 John 4, verse 4. We know this one. Who knows what that says? First word is greater. Yes, greater is he who lives in me. He lives in me. He's greater than he who lives in the world. Hallelujah. Right? It's he is more powerful, like we read in the book Persevere with Power. He is the greatest spirit. It's the Spirit of the living God. He's the more powerful one than any other spirit roaming around on this earth today. That's good news. Let's see. So John 14, verse 19. It says, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. The Spirit of God is alive and well, and therefore we are alive and well, can be alive and well with the Spirit of truth on the inside of us. So this see, where it says you will see me, the world doesn't see me anymore when he's saying Jesus, when Jesus is saying the world's not going to see me anymore when I go away, but I'm going to leave you another advocate, right? Another comforter, but you will see me. This meaning, the Greek meaning of the word see here, well, the Greek word is theoreo. It's like theo and R-E-O, theoreo. It means to look at, to behold, but it's like a careful observation of details. So it says, you will see me, like carefully observing all the details about who I am. And it said, when I studied this, it says that this was used like a general, picture like a general of an army reviewing or inspecting his army with careful precision and observation about his army, making sure that they're prepared, right? So that's the way that Jesus is saying, you will see me, my spirit, my Holy Spirit. You will see me in this way. It also means like to discern. It's like you'll see it on the inside of you. You'll know, you'll be connected. There'll be a connection there. And this word, this Greek word, theoreo, is different. There's another Greek word for seeing, but it's a different kind of seeing. That's theomai, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, which is in English also means to see, but it means a perception like more in general, just like a spectator looks at a parade going by. So there's a distinction there. So this is a deeper seeing, like with your heart, discerning, or like this army or this general inspecting his army with careful observation. That's how God wants us to see and connect to the Holy Spirit in that deep way. He's also saying that those that love him, when you look at John 14:15. Let me open that part up. John 14:15, it's the verse preceding where we started. It says, if you love me, keep my commands. And then it goes into, and then I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. So if you love me and keep my commands, he's saying that those that love him and keep his commands will be able to see, perceive in detail, to discern him, to know him. We can truly know and connect with the Holy Spirit because he lives inside of us. And like it says, because he lives, I live. There's no death in me. That reminds me of Romans 8:1-2, where it says, there's now therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus because he set me free from the law of sin and death, right? There's no more death in me. I'm alive because he set me free and he's put life on the inside of me. The Spirit of truth, the comforter and the helper. Is somebody getting encouraged today besides me? Okay. Good. That's my objective here. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about some of the roles of the Holy Spirit. We talked sort of about some of them in saying who he is. He speaks for us. Have you ever just not really known what to respond to somebody, what to say in the face of, I don't know, maybe persecution or ridicule or just any situation or something heavy or hard that somebody said to you, and you open your mouth and like you just knew that that was not me, like the Holy Spirit just, you know, gave you the words? Have you experienced that? It's awesome. It's powerful. I'll tell you a story about me in just a second. But when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, he gave them instructions and warnings of what was to come. And he also told them how the Holy Spirit would help them. Let's look at Matthew 10:18-20. He's warning them about what, you know, perhaps persecution that is to come. And he says, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. He's saying this to us today. Don't be anxious when people are in your face and saying, what, Jesus? You think he's going to come to your rescue? It says, don't be anxious how you're to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. We must excuse me, we must trust that. We must rely on that, that he is going to, when we need it, he's going to speak through us and he's going to give us the words. I may have told this, I know I've told this story before, but just in a nutshell, you know, and this wasn't severe persecution, but it was just a comment that was a little bit off, or, you know, an offensive comment one time in the missionary community. Somebody said something to me about my nation, about the United States, and how, I don't know what exactly, like, I would never want to go to your country and be a missionary or something. And it was like, she didn't really think, I think, before she said it. And I was like, you know, it really hurt my heart. It was like a dagger, what, you know, her words. And I must have surrendered my lips and my mouth to the Holy Spirit that day, because he just totally took over. Like, my flesh wanted to, like, react in some way. And the Holy Spirit just turned it around and had me give love back to her. And you know what I said? I mean, the tears were welling in my eyes, and she saw that it affected me, and she came and apologized later. But I said something like, oh, I said, well, that's such a shame, because my country needs people like you, full of God, full of Jesus, who love him and obey him and hear his voice, to speak the gospel to my nation. And she just, you know, it affected her. It affected her, and it affected me, because I was like, whoa, that was not what I was gonna, you know, that was not Sarah. Praise God that he gives us the words. He speaks through us. Another role of the Holy Spirit is he gives us power to be a witness. He gives us power to be a bold witness. When the resurrected Jesus was, you know, with the disciples, and he was giving them, before he left and ascended into heaven, he gave them the last instructions, right? And it's like a mother before they leave, they review the most important thing before they leave their children to go out, you know, or for the babysitter. They leave they say the most important thing at the end. So that's what will stay with them, right? Jesus wanted the disciples to get this, what was strongest on his heart before he left them. So in Acts 1, verses 4 and 8, I'm going to read verse 4 and then skip to verse 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Wow. He's saying, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to fill you with power to be a witness, to give evidence of who I am in the earth. Right? He wasn't abandoning his disciples. He has not abandoned us, but he's giving the promise of a Holy Spirit who's going to gird us with strength, right? And give us that power to be a witness. And he's going to give us the words to speak in order to fulfill the great commission that he has commanded us to do, right? Certainly, God has given me, you know, at different times I can remember, power to be a witness of God's love when I was in Argentina as a missionary. You know, we'd go into tough places sometimes. We regularly visited a slum neighborhood that was a few blocks. We would walk, I don't know, 10 blocks, maybe a few times a week, and we would go and visit with families there. And sometimes we'd have to wait in the homes because shots would be going off in this slum neighborhood, and we couldn't, you know, the families that we visited would really look out for us, and they'd say, no, stay here. You got to stay here a little bit longer. But I just remember being filled with God's word in situations, with God's power to be a witness, to love on those families. And I remember one particular time we were going to a park, a plaza that was closer to our home. We often went to plazas and parks, and one in particular downtown was full of street children and prostitutes and drugs and, I mean, just all kinds of things. But actually, I think this happened just in a park that was more close to our home, and it was just, you know, a neighborhood plaza, and people would hang out there. And I remember we had like an intentional outing. I was probably leading the outing, and I struggled that day. I didn't feel like going out. It wasn't like, woo, Jesus, I'm going to go. You know, it was like, oh, we got to do, you know, it was like heavy. I know that never happens to you guys, that you feel like it's sort of an obligation. I was missing that heartburn. I was missing that passion and zeal. But you know what? God gave it to me. I surrendered. I remember praying and saying, because I was leading the outreach, I believe. And it was like, God, just help me. Just help me get, you know, just let me do this. I just surrender it to you. And sometimes those are the times that it's most powerful, because you're just like, I got nothing. It's not you anyway. But you get your flesh out of the way because you feel kind of weak. You feel like I don't have anything to give. And the Holy Spirit just took that and took my surrendered prayer and just boom. And I remember we found a group of teenagers that were like hanging out in the plaza. And I remember I don't think I had felt this before. I got power to be a witness. I was like, my face turned like bright red. I could feel it. I was like on fire as I was talking to these kids about Jesus. And they were like, you know, it got their attention. And I was with the team. But I just remember that particular instance. That's power that he gives us to be a witness. It just flows out. Even when you don't feel like it, because it's not a feeling, right? He lives there. He's always there. He won't leave you and forsake you. And when you make yourself available to people, to the community, to people that are lost and need to hear about Jesus, he will flow, man. The passion and the zeal will just come out if you're surrendered and say, just use me, God. He'll do it. Okay, another role of the Holy Spirit is, how am I doing on time? Let's just do a check-in. Okay, great, she says, praise the Lord. Another role of the Holy Spirit, he teaches us all things. We need a teacher in this life. There's no manual for life. I mean, some maybe say the Bible. Okay, the Bible helps us. But through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit with his word, he teaches us, right? He makes it come alive on the inside of us. And this is so exciting. Life with the Holy Spirit is fun. It's exciting because we have a lot to learn, wouldn't you say? We don't know it all. We need him as our teacher. So let's look at John, guess what chapter? 14, John 14, 25 and 26. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I have said to you. Oh, I am so grateful for that. I am so grateful for that. I remember when that verse ministered to me, that verse came alive. I had a revelation of that verse. And I was living, what was I living at that time? Okay, let me think about this. I probably wrote this down here. Yes, I was in a time in my life that I was afraid to step out in a certain area because I had missed it and I messed up in that same area previously. And it was like theory, like you learn something in theory and you learn it, but then the real test comes, the real, like, did I really learn this? When you get faced with a similar kind of a situation and you have to apply what you learned and it's facing you again, and I was like, oh, I can't do it because I messed up last time and I'm a failure. And you know, all the lies come to, the devil just comes to heighten and turn up the volume on all those lies. And this verse ministered to me that he will teach you all things and he will bring to remembrance what he's already taught you. Like, Sarah, you already learned that. And so when you learn something and you go through it, the Holy Spirit lights it up on the inside of you, right? And so when you have light in an area, that's revelation. So then that's light. That's something that was once maybe a blind spot that you didn't see that God taught you. And then when you're faced with a similar thing or a situation that's maybe even greater or more challenging, it's like he's going to remind you, fear not, because he will teach you and he'll remind you of what he said, the light that you already have. He'll say, Sarah, don't go that way. Now remember, do it this way. I'm going to guide you this way. It's kind of a teacher guider all together. And he did that, and it was, and used this word to assure me that he would do that. And he did. And I stepped out and I grew, and I'm like, oh, I've grown. You know, when you can look back and say, oh, I've grown. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your spirit that teaches me what I need to know. It's powerful when we live that with the Holy Spirit. There's so many ways that he teaches us. I think through his word is a big one, but he can speak to our hearts and teach us what we're lacking, teach us what we need to know. So if you feel like, well, because of my personality, I'm sort of like this way and I'm missing this, he will teach you. Ask him. The Bible says, those of you that are seeking wisdom, ask and it'll be given to you, right? Let the weak say, I am strong in him. Be my teacher, Holy Spirit. Teach me today. I need you, my teacher, my rabbi, Yeshua, King Jesus. Walk with me and teach me what I need to know. Right? Okay, another role. Another role, let's see, is he convicts us of sin. Hoo-hoo. Don't we all love this one? I didn't hear any amens. Amen! He convicts me of sin. I love it. It's my favorite role, the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We need that, don't we? If we don't know that we're, you know, doing something against the design and will of God that's going to hurt us and break us and lead us to death. When we sin, it causes death in our life, which is separation from God. And if I'm banging my head against the wall, somebody help me. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, tell me, convict me, tell me that I'm wrong, correct me, bring me to repentance, right? The word says it's his love that brings us to repentance. Oh, Father, I turn. Repentance doesn't mean I just say sorry and then I keep doing it. And then, you know, oh, there's grace on me. So I say sorry and then I mess up again. Repentance is turning 180. What would be 180 this way? 180 degrees, turning and going in the other direction. I'm going toward Yeshua over here, right? We need that repentance. We need that revelation in our lives. We need to know. We need somebody, maybe it's a disciple maker or a leader, but the Spirit of God is really good at convicting us of sin. And if we're open and we're yielded to him and we're asking him to show us when we're not doing something that pleases him, he'll show. And it's not to condemn you. He didn't come to condemn, right? He came to set you free. He came to speak truth. He came to help you. He's our helper. So we shouldn't be afraid of this. We shouldn't be afraid of the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. Because I want to know if I'm going down a path that's going to lead me to destruction and death. Help me, Jesus. He's my deliverer. I want to be saved from that, right? I hope you do too. So let's look at John. Here's a scripture for this that about the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin. John 16, verses 8 through like 11. John 16, we'll start at 8. It says, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. he's talking about the unbelievers there. Verse 10, about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So that's the role that he does there. It's saying he comes to prove the world to be in the wrong when we're sinning. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Convict me, Father. Holy Spirit, convict me when I'm messing it and missing it and not aligned with your path of life. Okay. Another role is he guides us into all truth. Did we already do that one? I guess we talked about the Spirit of Truth. Okay, we talked about the Spirit of Truth as part of who God was. That's why it sounded familiar. Sorry. John 16, 13 through 15. When the Spirit of Truth comes, and we did read this, but we'll read it again. Repetition is good. He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare it to you. He will declare truth to you when you need it. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You see the closeness, the intimacy of the Trinity here in this verse, don't you? The Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus. They work together so that God is glorified. But it's the Spirit of Truth that comes to help us, to guide us into all truth. Man, we need that. We need that. As I journey with the Holy Spirit and grow deeper with him, I've been having dreams like the last few years, like more dreams. I remember when I was first saved, I had some significant, like one significant prophetic dream that's a promise for my family. And, you know, when the Spirit of Truth comes to reveal something to you, whether it's in a vision and you're awake, or it's you're dreaming, or he just speaks to your heart, or through the word, or however way he brings that to that truth to you, it like opens something up that you didn't see before. It's like the Spirit of Truth, along with his role as the teacher, go together. He's teaching you, he's showing you something that you didn't know. He's bringing you revelation. And it could be something really, you know, an everyday thing. I remember a few years ago, and this is the first time I think this happened in this way. It just touched me so much that I was, I had a dream, and the dream was like, I looked at my calendar and I saw in my calendar that I had an appointment, like a doctor's appointment. You know, sometimes those appointments are made like a year ahead of time, 6 months ahead, and I had forgotten about it and I didn't know about it. And the dream was just telling me, reminding me that I had a doctor's appointment in like 2 days. And I woke up and I was like, and I went to my calendar, you know, or my where I had a medical folder, and I had the little card, and there it was. In 2 days, I had an appointment. I was like, thank you, Holy Spirit! It was just like, it just blessed me so much. He taught me. He can teach you little things like that, or like show you where your keys are when you lose them, you know? I do that all the time. Do you guys do that? Work with the Holy Spirit. Journey with him throughout your day. I say, Lord, whenever I pray like that, when I've lost something, I find it. Usually within a few minutes, sometimes within the day. It's cool. It's fun. He's the Spirit of Truth. He knows. He knows where your lost keys are. He knows when you have an appointment and you forgot about it. It could be something deeper too, like something you're going through that you need direction. You need the Spirit of Truth to say this, to show you what's really happening. You know, and he does it in the way that he knows that you will understand and receive it, whether it's a dream or whatever way, through a song, through nature. He'll speak to you. He'll show you. It's awesome. other roles that I didn't study as much for this message, but you know, you can study this on your own. He's also, the Holy Spirit is the gift giver. You know, look in 1 Corinthians about the Holy Spirit giving gifts, spiritual gifts. We've studied those before, you know, read the Lester Sumrall book about the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Pull that out and read some of that, and read in the Word about, you know, the Holy Spirit as the gift giver, because he gives you spiritual gifts. He's so good. Isn't he good? The Holy Spirit is so good. And he's not out there somewhere. And he's not a little statue that I have to rub its belly and do anything weird. Or he lives inside of me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, conclusion. We've been given an invaluable gift of the Holy Spirit without value. I mean, it's of great value. Like Brother Don has brought in, you know, things from Walmart, the brand, the great value. It's of great value, invaluable. He is the comforter, the advocate, the one that comes beside you, the Spirit of truth. The roles that he plays in our lives, just reviewing, he comforts, which we learned it means he girds you with strength, right? He gives you that peace. He comforts you when you need it. He comes alongside of you. I already said that, but it's worth saying a second time. He speaks for you. He gives you power to be a witness. He teaches you. He guides you into all truth. Have you accepted the gift? Have you unwrapped the gift? Are you enjoying it? Are you walking in his power? Are you partnering with him throughout your day? Like Carissa talked about, her, you know, car was dead and wouldn't start. She just ran to Jesus in her heart and just praised him. And then he gave her the next steps. He told her what to do, and he made the whole plan, and it all worked out because she ran to him, right? Partner with Holy Spirit. Press into his heart. I'm preaching to myself here. Sarah, press in to his heart. Run to him when you're feeling XYZ, right? Jesus didn't give his life for us for nothing. Certainly not. And he didn't leave the Holy Spirit for us just so that we could, you know, feel kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. We're all been up here singing today, so I thought I just had to throw in a song. Or this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine only to myself. This little light of mine, I'm going to hide it under a bushel. No, the song says, right? Not just so that you can feel your little corner of peace and calm and joy inside your our exclusive worship services, but no, so that we could be equipped with power from on high to be a witness to the lost and dying world that needs Jesus, right? And so that we could step into the realm of the impossible. We can face mountains, we tell them to move. We can use our faith to move those mountains to win people to Jesus, right? It's in his presence. It's his presence in us and upon us that makes the impossible possible. It's the Holy Spirit. You belong to him. You have life in the Holy Spirit. You have victory in the Holy Spirit. And you have power in the Holy Spirit. Kim, you have power in the Holy Spirit. Yes. You are connected. Carol, you're connected to the power source of God. Never forget that. Stay plugged in. Stay plugged in to his power source. We have access to the spiritual world of goodness where Jesus dwells, right? King Jesus. Let's stay filled up with him, singing songs and making melodies to him in our hearts. I've been doing that when I wash the dishes, when I'm going around the house. It's fun. I'm glad not everyone's hearing me, but it's good. It's a joyful noise, right? Connecting to him. Let's be aware of who we are and who we have living on the inside of us. Let's walk with confidence You can walk with confidence, Mel, because the Holy Spirit, the living God, lives on the inside of you, and he gives you power to go about your day with peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Right? Understanding that the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the Advocate who brings strength, he's for us and not against us. He empowers us from the inside. Because he's with me, the impossible becomes impossible. So why don't you stand with me? Let's do some just a few confessions here. It's good to confess it out of our mouths. Let's just start with, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
The Spirit of the Lord God lives in me.
I have the Holy Spirit.
I choose to live a surrendered life today.
I embrace the call
to the impossible.
That God may be glorified in all the earth.
I am connected to the Spirit of truth.
The Advocate lives inside of me.
He helps me.
The Holy Spirit makes me strong.
Okay, say that again like you mean it. The Holy Spirit makes me strong. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Again, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yeah, there we go.
The Holy Spirit teaches me.
I am unstoppable with the Holy Spirit.
I have victory
in Jesus Christ
and through the Holy Spirit
that is my power source.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We celebrate you, Holy Spirit, today. Oh, we are so grateful, Holy Spirit, for your presence and your power in our lives. You make us strong when we are weak. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you would come to live inside of us. Who are we that you would come and dwell and be with us? And have influence on our being. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. I pray over each one and the sound of my voice, Father, that we would connect to you today, in this very day, in this week, in new ways, that we would run to you, that we would allow you to accompany us through our day. The mundane, everyday things and the big things weighing on our heart, that we would run to you, the Spirit of truth, and say, help me, I surrender. That we would run to you and say, be my strength today. Be my peace today. Be my joy today. All the fruits of the Spirit can be in operation. We have them all. We've been equipped. So thank you, Father God, for reminding us of all those tools that we have. And showing us how to walk with you and be empowered by you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for girding us with strength. I pray the Spirit of comfort, I pray the great Comforter would just come to you when you need it. He holds your heart. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Your shalom peace over us. And I think of the verse that says, you sing songs of deliverance over us. Holy Spirit, you know when we need to be delivered of something. You know when there's a sin that we've been struggling with. And you help us get over it. You help us overcome. You help us. You give us conviction of sin so that we can turn totally around 180 degrees and repent and say, help me, Jesus. You are my strength. You help me turn away from this evil, turn away from this sin. Thank you, Jesus, for girding each one this week in a new way with that. May we turn to you. May we ask for help. May we connect to you. May we stay connected to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And I just lift up my brothers and sisters listening online through social media. Father, that you just surprise them this week with your strength, with your power that's alive. Father God, all we need to do is like flip the switch. I see somebody just turning on like the light switch when it's dark. You've been equipped. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit, you've been equipped. The electric company has already come out and placed the electric wiring in you, in your house. All you've got to do, you don't call the electric company each time to turn on the lights. You have to do it. You have to flip the switch. Right? You flip the switch and the lights come on. I just saw somebody having the lights come on. Thank you, Jesus, for encouraging us, for strengthening those that are listening, Father God. Where there is weakness, we can declare that we are strong and we can receive that strength from the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them to be a blessing. Open their eyes to the incredible gift that we have in you, Holy Spirit. And I thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.